Good evening. Hope everyone's doing well. You know, this is probably my favorite time of year, from Thanksgiving throughout, you know, this month. And it's my favorite time of year, especially because I only have 3 more days to work this year. And I look forward to that. So, you know, just think about that while you're working, okay? If you remember last week, we was in Psalm chapter 19, book of Psalms, chapter 19. And reviewing what we talked about last week under the law of the Lord. It was part one, the law of the Lord, part one, and Psalms chapter 19. When I did last week, I started with verse number 10 and 11 and started down there first. What we talked about last week, and by reminding you all, is that we talked about the law of the Lord as being that which is desirable, that which we should desire and have a great yearning for. After that, we went on and we talked about the laws of the Lord being warnings, warning us of things that is sin, things that we should avoid. And then we went on and we looked at the very last part there in verse number 11. We talked about the law of the Lord being that which if we keep them, there are great rewards. Great rewards and keeping of the law of the Lord. So this evening, as we continue in part number 2, we're going to start at verse number 7 and go through part of verse number 8. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. I've always felt that Psalms chapter 19 and Psalm 119 just goes hand in hand together. In Psalms chapter 19, the psalmist continue talking about the law of the Lord. He says here at the very beginning of it, says the law of the Lord is perfect. That the law of the Lord is perfect. When taking the word perfect and looking it up in Webster Dictionary, Webster has these things to say about the word perfect. He says, complete in all respects. Webster goes on to say, without defects, sound, flawless. So keep those thoughts in mind. Perfect, flawless, without defects, sound, complete in all respect. But then there in Strong's Hebrews Dictionary, it says that the word carries with it the meaning without blemish, complete, without spot, undefiled, upright, full. The word of God. When you put all that together and you think about the word of God being that which is perfect, the law of the Lord is perfect, it is complete, without flaw, undefiled, full, sound. The law of the Lord, says the psalmist, that it is that which is perfect. In James chapter 1, if you would turn to James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, years later, James would write, James chapter 1, start at verse number 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, referring to the word of God, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, James referred to it as being perfect. The laws of God, they are perfect. Well, what's so important about that, some would say? I believe this is very important when one is trying to study with someone. It's very important when you sit down and you try to teach someone the gospel. One thing that's very important is to try to get the person to understand that the laws of God, they are perfect. And therefore, being perfect, there's no flaws, no mistakes, undefiled. Therefore, there's nothing need to be added unto it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, chapter most of us already probably know, chapter where you find all the great things said about love, love being kind, love suffers long. And then it goes on there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, right about verse number 10, it says, when that which is perfect comes, referring to the word of God, the complete revelation of God, the laws of God. The laws of God over and over throughout the Bible is referred to that which is referred to being perfect. The laws of the Lord, they are perfect. I like what Peter has to say. I believe it goes hand in hand with what the psalmist is saying. Peter says in 2 Peter, it will be chapter 1, start at verse number 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by the glory and virtue. Peter says that we have everything we need to live pertaining to life and godliness. Everything spiritually God has given us through his word. It is perfect. It's whole. It's complete. It's undefiled. The law of the Lord is everything that we need to live by. And that seems to be so hard today to get people to understand. Well, you know, grandma and grandfather said this is what they used to do. Well, you know, we teach and we believe this. Is it found in the perfect law of God? Well, no, but this is what we teach. But see, the psalmist speaks of the law of the Lord as that which is perfect. Complete. Full. Needing nothing to be added unto it. Jude would say in Jude, verse number 3, that the faith has been delivered once and for all. That this is all we're going to get. We have the word of God complete. It's everything we need. It is the perfect law of the Lord. So therefore, there is no need to try to alter it or change it. There's an old saying that I grew up hearing, and I would probably say most of the people in here grew up hearing, is that if it working, don't mess with it. Don't try to fix something that's working just perfectly. But there's been times when I've tried to modify something that was working just great and made a big mess out of it. Surely did. But in the realm of spiritual things, there's a lot of warnings. If you remember last week, I said that in Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 through 19, where God warns us, the last warning there in the Bible, where he warns man not to add nor take away from his words. See, when man decides to add or to take away from the word of God, then man has decided, well, it's incomplete. It's not perfect. It's not whole. I can change it. I have a better idea. I can modify it. I can make it better. You can't make it better because the law of the Lord, says the psalmist, is perfect. It's perfect. It's complete. Without defects. You know, the very concept and idea of man thinking about changing that which God has given. Throughout the Old Testament, Moses talk to God's people and taught them God's word. And when he would finish, he would many times end up by saying this. And Deuteronomy chapter 4. Look there, please. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And Deuteronomy chapter 4, starting at verse number 1, he would say, "Now, Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you. You shall not add to them, you shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." God's people were told to hear, to listen to the word of God. God's people are told to keep, to hold on to God's words. And also God's people are told, don't add nor take away from the word of God. Why? Because it's what God has given us. He has given us the perfect law. But the psalmist says, the law of the Lord, it's perfect. You would find in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6, same warning. You would find in Deuteronomy chapter 12, last verse, how about verse number 32, where God has told Moses to tell the people, beware when they enter into the land. Don't follow, not even inquire about the pagans and how they worship those gods. Just stay away from it. But at the very end, that verse number 32 of chapter 12, he would say, be very careful to observe the laws and do not add to them. For see, the laws of the Lord, they are perfect, says the psalmist. But yet, man is still struggling and trying to change the word of God, to change that which is perfect. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it will be verse number 6, where the writer says, not to go beyond the things that you've learned, not to go beyond the things that are written. Just accept what's there. Accept the word of God as it is and don't try to change it. Don't tamper with it, because the word of God is okay. It's all right. It's inspired. It came from God. And it's just like the psalmist says, it is perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect. There's nothing wrong with it, people. The Bible, the scriptures, it's okay. It's right. There's nothing wrong with it. If anything needs to be changed or modified, maybe it's my attitude towards it. Maybe that's what needs to change. For the psalmist says, the law of the Lord, they are perfect. Now let's go back to Psalms chapter 18. At the very bottom part, verse number 7, he says this about the law of the Lord. He says, it's sure. It is sure. You know, if you talk with someone about different things, someone will say, well, is it a sure deal? Is it a good sale? Is it solid? Because, you know, we don't want to get involved in things that's not sure, right? Even investing. You don't want to invest in things that's unsure. You don't want to buy a house that's shaky, unsure. You want to make sure when it comes to financial and material things that you get a good buy, you get something that's solid, that's something that's sure. Even today when you go out and buy something, usually you buy a warranty to go with it, to be sure that all things are covered. The psalmist speaks about the word of God, the laws of the Lord. He says they are sure. when defining the word sure, going back once more again to Webster, he would say that safe, secure, that will not fail, always effective, that can be relied upon, trustworthy. Now think about those things and think about those meanings and apply to the Word of God. Now going back to the Hebrew again, it would carry with it the concept of firm, faithful, even the ideal of to build upon for support. So the psalmist says that the law of the Lord, they are perfect. Not only are they perfect, he goes on to say that they're sure. They're that which we can rely upon. They're that which we can put our trust in. They're which are safe and secure. You probably know and probably have worked with people who are unreliable. You don't know whether they're going to come to work or not. Or whatever job they're doing, you probably got to kind of keep an eye on them or go behind them because they're not reliable. But isn't it good to know that the Word of God is sure, is reliable. It's one thing in this world that we can put our trust in and believe it's not going to let us down. Psalms chapter 93. Psalms 93. In Psalms 93, the beginning of the chapter, he talks about God establishing the world and all the greatness and the mightiness of God. Then at the very last verse, the writer says in Psalms 93, your testimonies are very sure. They're very reliable. They're very trustworthy. They're very secure. They're which I can rely upon. You know, if I wind up or you wind up getting involved in something that's sinful, it's not because you can rely upon the Bible. It's not because the Bible lets you astray. It's not because the law of the Lord wasn't sure enough to establish you. It's because of your own desires. James chapter 1, sorry about verse 12 and going downward. For see, the Bible, the laws of the Lord has never, ever let anyone down. For the writer says they're perfect and they're sure, they're which you can rely upon. Psalms 111. Psalms 111. In the beginning of the chapter, the writer speaks of praising the Lord. He goes on, he talks about the great works that God has done, and studying those works in verse number 2. Talks about the righteousness of God and his great wonders. And then it goes down to verse number 7. He says, the works of his hands are verity and justice. All his precepts are sure. They are sure, they are firm, they are faithful, they are which we can build our lives upon. The psalmist says, the law of the Lord, it's perfect. Don't need any modification. Here he says that it is sure. You can trust in it. You can rely upon it. In 1 John chapter 5, there are the passages there that remind me of having a Bible study many years ago when I first moved to Columbus. 1 John chapter 5. At verse number 13. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Lord, who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in this name of the Son of God. The writer says here that you can know that you have eternal life. You can be sure. How? From reading and following the Word of God. I remember it was probably 1990, I guess. I think Brandon may have been maybe one. I'd had a study with a Jehovah's Witness, probably about 2 or 3 days straight. And we got to the point where he was so confused about what he thought he believed, that it got to the point that he is outright and told me, he said, I don't know whether I have eternal life or not. How sad it is to follow a religion where you don't know whether you have eternal life or not. Christianity, the Word of God, is sure, and it shows and tells you and I that you can have eternal life, and that you can know that you have eternal life because it is sure. No guesswork at it. Psalmist says, which is very encouraging, the laws of the Lord, they are sure. That they will not fail. That they're which we can rely upon. That they're trustworthy. Oh, they're firm and faithful. In Psalms 119, we'll start at verse number 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your words I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Here's a man, the psalmist, who seemed to be totally convinced that the word of God is that which is sure. So sure, he said, that even for a young man, if a young man take it, he can cleanse his ways. And the psalmist goes on to say that I'm so sure about the word of God that I'm going to take it and place it in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Then he goes on to say, in verse number 10, bottom part, that I'm going to take it and follow it so I don't wander away from your commandments. He was convinced that God's words were sure, reliable, firm, trustworthy. What about you? How do you feel about it? Do you really believe that the word of God is perfect? Do you really believe it? Do you really, really, truly believe that the word of God is sure, it's reliable, that you can hold on to it, that you can build your life on it, that you can meet all spiritual needs by following the word of God? Do you really believe it? Yes, I do. Hopefully, you will too. For see, it's sure, says the psalmist. Even when you and I may go astray, it doesn't change that the word of God is still sure, it's still reliable, It's still trustworthy. It's still that which changes the lives of men when they obey it and follow it. Let's go back to Psalm 119. One more thing there he says about the law of the Lord. He says that's perfect. He says it's sure. But also he says the very bottom part of verse number 7 says, making wise the simple. You know, we live in a world where the wisdom of man, a lot of great and good things have been done. When you go back and you look over the history of medicine, in the last 100, 150 years, a lot of things have been accomplished in medicine. A lot of sicknesses that hundreds of years ago that we couldn't do anything about because of the wisdom of man and technology, we've overcome them. When you think about the era of transportation, you go all the way back to chariots, to horses, to horse and buggy. And moving forward now, you know, a trip that went from one state to another state could have taken weeks or maybe months. Now you can fly from here to California 4 or 5 hours. It's amazing, isn't it? The accomplishments that we've made. Wisdom of man. How about communications? Going back some 100 years back and further, wanted to send a letter to California about Pony Express. Could have taken a month to get there. How about now? A letter can go from here to California in a couple hours. Better yet, I can communicate with someone in England by a touch of a computer. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Who ever thought the time would come when you would carry your telephone in your front pocket? That no matter where I'm at, I can make a phone call, even overseas. I realized how great technology has became about a year back. I was in the Virgin Islands. I needed some money. I went to the ATM machine. I'm about 4,000 miles away from my bank. I stick my card in, punch a couple numbers, and zap, there it is, my money. Where? There it is. My money, well, until I gave it to my wife, and it was her money. But as it may have been, communication have come a long way. Man become very wise, but yet still, in the spiritual realm, when you look around, man's still struggling. Man is still walking around foolishly in his own wisdom. Thinking that he has a better way than God. Thinking that he cannot do God. Thinking that he knows what's best for himself. For the psalmist says that the word of God, the Lord, the laws of the Lord making wise the simple. Make man wise. You know, when I look in the book of Hosea, look in the book of Hosea, please. In the book of Hosea, if you start there in chapter 4, the first two verses, hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing, and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. And these are God's people. When you stop and you look at the complaint that Hosea bring before God's people, they don't seem to be too wise, does it? Here at the time, God's people, They're not walking in wisdom. They're not wise. They're lying. They're stealing. They're swearing. They're killing, committing adultery, breaking all restraints. I think I found the reason. Look at verse number 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. I also reject you from being priests for me because you have forgotten the law of your God. Here's the reason. First of all, there was a lack of knowledge. They didn't want to retain the knowledge of God. Secondly, they rejected knowledge. They didn't want to have anything to do with the Word of God. Thirdly, they had forgotten the laws of God. If a man walks around with a lack of knowledge, rejecting God's laws, forgetting God, he then walks around living his life foolishly. But the flip side to this is, if he takes the Word of God, he takes it in, he believes it, he trusts in it, he relies upon it, and he follows it, then he can live his life being wise. For see, the psalmist says, laws of the Lord makes man wise. In Proverbs chapter 3, book of Proverbs chapter 3. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, sorry, verse number 5, and working down, the writer encouraged those who would read this letter to put their trust in the Lord and lean now on your own understanding. Then there in verse number 7, he would say, do not be wise in your own eyes. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Don't trust in your own wisdom, thinking that you know what's best for you spiritually, but trust in the Word of God, the laws of the Lord. For see, by trusting and following and taking on the law of the Lord and following to the end, it can make you and me and all those who are willing become very wise. The laws of the Lord make man wise. Second Timothy. Oh, chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you start there at verse number 12, He talks to Timothy about those who desire to live godly, that they will suffer persecution, which is true. And then he goes on, he says that imposters will grow even worse and worse, deceiving many. But then in verse number 14, he says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and being assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. How beautiful. Paul encourages Timothy to continue in the things that he has learned. Continue following the scriptures that make you wise for salvation. If I'm going to be wise spiritually, it's not going to be because I'm trusting and following the newspaper, not because I'm trusting and following some dictionary, but because I'm trusting and following, relying on the Word of God. That's what makes man wise. For salvation makes man wise to live the spiritual life. For the psalmist says, the law of the Lord, they're perfect, they're sure, makes man wise. I think it was last week I refer to a verse in Ephesians, which I want to refer to again tonight. Ephesians chapter 5. It's Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Now skip down to verse number 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. See, if I don't have an understanding of the will of God, if I have no desire to know and want to learn and follow the word of God, I'm destined to walk around on planet earth unwise. But if I'm willing to hear the word of God, seek after it, understand it, follow it, put it into practice, then I can live my life as a wise person. For see, the laws of the Lord makes man wise when he takes and applies it to his life. Colossians chapter 4, verse number 5. Paul would tell the church at Colossae to walk in wisdom towards those on the outside. Walking in wisdom, following the word of God, living a life that's wise. The law of the Lord, as we close, the law of the Lord, people, there's nothing wrong with the word of God. It's still perfect. No matter how many people talk about, well, it's expired, it's time to change things around, let's do some other things to get people to come out and worship. Let's do the same old thing they did 200, 300, 400, 500, 2,000 years ago. Let's just preach and teach the same old perfect word of God. There's nothing wrong with it. It's still sure. Still firm, still reliable, still solid. And it is still that which makes man wise if he takes it and apply it to his life. In John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, when reading through that chapter, John will say several times the connection between loving God and being faithful, keeping his commandments. Jesus will say in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Then in John chapter 14, verse 24, about the same thing will be said. The connection between loving God, loving Jesus, and keeping his commandments. You may be here this evening and you say, oh, I love Jesus so much. I love God so much. But as a Christian, if there's sin in your life, you need to be obedient and keep his commandments by way of repenting of it. So you can be faithful to God. So you can be in a right relationship with him. You're here this afternoon and you're not a Christian. But you're saying, oh, I feel so much love in my heart for God and for Jesus and for his words. But see, Jesus says, if you truly love me, you keep my commandments. Not the commandments of mom and dad, not the commandments of some man, but the commandments that you find in God's perfect law. Question is, what are you going to do? In a few minutes, we're going to sing the song, Oh, Prepare to Meet God. Here is the time for you, if you need to make that preparation, to get things right so that on the day of judgment, you can be happy. Stop and you think about it. You can become a Christian this afternoon. by obeying the gospel, by hearing, believing, repenting, and confessing, and being baptized, having your sin washed away in the water, rising up brand new. In Josh's class this morning, he talked about the importance of being baptized. I believe the Bible teaches the very importance, the necessity of being baptized, washing your sins away, arising in the Lord's church, brand new creature. It can happen tonight if you choose to. Can't make you, can't force you. But one thing we do know is that it would not be wise to leave here without taking care spiritual matters. Let's sing.